For our scripture readings today, we have three different readings. We have one from Deuteronomy, one from Isaiah, and the third is from Hebrews. So reading from Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 7 through 9. The Lord did not set his affection on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other peoples, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But it was because the Lord loved you and kept the oath he swore to your forefathers that he brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the land of slavery, from the power of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to a thousand generations of those who love him and keep his commands. Isaiah chapter 11, 3b through 5 reads, he will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips, he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt and faithfulness the sash around his waist. Our third reading is from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 23. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Here ends the readings. At this time, we will have our sermon hymn. We will sing our sermon hymn. It is Great is Thy Faithfulness. Please stand if you are able. Great is Thy Faithfulness is found on page number 43 in your red hymnal, if you choose to sing along from that. Let us sing.
Oh, I'm sure they don't want me to say anything about them, but I'm going to anyway. Jim and Mike are kind of special individuals. In all my time here, I don't think we've ever had special music where they've sung two different songs, one at one service and one at the other. So that is unique. And that was special. And I bring this up because at the first service, when they sang, I don't even know the title, Peace in Christ, I focused in on the words that I shared at 8 o'clock. Peace in Christ had the words, listen to the word and let it come alive. Listen to the word and let it come alive. What word are we supposed to be listening to? The Word of God, which is where? The Bible. Sometimes people get confused when we talk about the Word. We're talking about the Bible, the Word of God. Listen to the Word and let it come alive. Now, how do I tie that into since I opened up the door? I opened up the door. No one else can open up the door to Jesus Christ for you. They can encourage, they can help, but you have to open up the door. And when you do that, it will come alive. And I'll try to tie that all in to our lesson this morning about faithfulness, the fruit of the Spirit. This is it. That we'll conclude everything about the fruit of the Spirit from my perspective. Nancy Roop is preaching or sharing her testimony next Sunday, the 30th. And then on the 7th, when I'm down at church camp with third and fourth graders and my daughter, Mackenzie is going to be here, and she's going to kind of wrap up all of the fruit. And Mackenzie is one of the missionaries that grew up here at St. John's that we support. And so she's going to share on the 7th. So faithfulness. It's not the last one on the list in Galatians 5:22, but I tried and did it my own way and tried to put this together. Do you think we each can agree? Do you think we can all understand? Can I use that word assume that everybody here in the sanctuary has faith? Some will say, yeah. But just because you're sitting in the pew doesn't mean you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, or so I have been told. One of the beauties of being around here for a while is I know most everybody here, and I know a little bit about your story, and I would be safe to assume that we have people of faith in the sanctuary. But there are people that are watching, and there are people that will listen later on into next week's radio broadcast. But I will assure you, we all have faith. Ever been on an airplane? You get on that airplane, you sit in your little seat, and you have faith that that airplane, that monstrosity of machine, is somehow going to get up in the air. You also have faith in the pilot, that he or she knows how to fly that thing and find the right destination for you. So we have a sense of natural faith. Now, I could tie natural faith to baseball, but I'm not going to do that this morning. When you turn on a light switch, do you have faith that the light's going to come on? When you eat food prepared by someone else, you have faith that it's going to be good for you and not get you sick, right? So there's a sense of natural faith, and I'm sure you can come up with all of your own individual illustrations. So you can have faith, but it doesn't mean you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We can read the Bible, we can know what it says, but until that faith comes alive in us, we may just have natural faith. And God wants us to have an alive faith. He wants us to have opened up the door. Deuteronomy 7:9, one of the passages that Roger read for us. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God. That is a tremendous statement of faith. It's an eternal description of who God is. Even though that's in Deuteronomy way back in the Old Testament, we are still here worshiping and believing in and having faith in the very same God because he is eternal. He is eternal. Now, there in Deuteronomy, the people of Israel, the nation of Israel, they have not entered into the promised land just yet. But they know they are going to, as written, because they know God is faithful. And God has love to 1,000 generations. I've not counted them all up, but I believe our generation is in that mix. And for the Israelites, it wasn't a matter of if they would enter into the promised land. It was the assurance of when. When. We know how long was their journey. How long did they wander in the wilderness? 40 years. Are you that patient? I know I am. I can long for God. I can pray, and I can know that God is going to give me that answer in 15 seconds. Doesn't work that way, does it? Faithful. It's not a matter of if, though. It's when. And that can be decades down the road. In Sunday school, in Connections, we talked a little bit about Joseph. Coat of many colors. It took him decades to realize that his whole life God meant for good, even though the world had had some harm for Joseph. Now, as the Israelites thought about going into Canaan, the Canaanites were much more powerful than Israelites. And they could have those fears and those doubts and those wonders, but they remembered that God is the God of faith. And it wasn't that they were entering into the promised land as Israelites. They were entering into the promised land as Israelites, the people of God. And they were able to conquer because God is a faithful God. Back in Deuteronomy, they learned what Paul expresses in Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Some of the fruit of the Spirit we've talked about the last couple of months, talked about some of the tragedies of life, some of the trials of life and the sufferings that we go through. Got an email, newsletter from Tom and Megan, and we don't say some of the last names of our missionaries so that they are safe because of where they serve or where they're going to serve. So Tom and Megan sent us an email, and I have it typed up the list, but I forgot it in my computer. Tragedies, sufferings, trials. They have friends that have been in an airplane crash. They came out okay. There has been an area cyclone. There has been an island-wide illness. They got sick individually for 2 weeks. And there was something else. But tragedy after tragedy after trial after trial. And you know what? The whole rest of the newsletter was praising God for his faithfulness and the provision that they were having. I know one of their daughters has been diagnosed with a lifelong kind of ailment. I can't remember what it is right now. But all of that, and they still wanted to know, tell everybody, God is faithful. Can you think of a time in your own life when you discovered that God could be counted on? A time in your own life, an experience, maybe more than one, an everyday life situation, or maybe an extreme situation of life, when you learned or relearned that God is faithful. I'm not going to point out everybody in the sanctuary, but I could point out some of you. I look at my own life. Provision. Talk to Jim Greaser, just back from Kajado Children's Home in Kenya. And I talked with him briefly yesterday morning. Wow. And blessedly, I was there 20 years ago. And when you can live happily in a cow dung hut, you know, made of sticks and waterproofed with cow dung and mud, and be happy and praising God, look at the provision that God blesses many of us with. God can be counted on. In situations of death, the tragedy, the heartache, the pain, God can be counted on in the promise of everlasting life. I know I'm the only one in my life that's ever made big mistakes. I'm not talking about sin. I'm just talking about bad decisions, big mistakes. God can be counted on because he can steer you the right way. He can provide a counselor. He can provide a friend, a family member. And the solution comes through faith in God. One of the ways that I have learned to count on God is the essence of teamwork. I lose sleep about these East Garden meals. I'm not there. I set this all up and I didn't pick the days. Other people did. And I'm gone. Now, there's a couple of other churches involved, and they're going to take some of them, but there's four out there, and I didn't lose any sleep. There's a team that was there. All went well. It'll happen. Every time we announce, there are people there. Had a chance to work with another team up in La Porte 2 weeks ago and helping with the ramp. I love it when God provides the experience, the knowledge, the ability, the wisdom, and I see God at work. It's amazing. And then finally, when God can be counted on, there's not been too many, but there's two drastic times in my life where I was just lonely. I was friendless. I was abandoned. Now, I happened to live far away from people at that time, and it was a long 6 weeks, but God brought me out of that. God is faithful. He can be counted on. So think of those times when you have discovered God is faithful and make sure you continually thank him, not just in prayers, but in making the word alive. I'm still there. Romans 10:17. Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. When I read Romans 10:17, first thing that comes to my mind are the Gideons. Not only do they put the Bibles everywhere, but they take out and they place those Bibles and they witness. And they are sharing the word of Christ. Revivals. Conversions. I was blessed in the last 6 months or so to share in the conversion of somebody's heart when they opened up the door to Jesus Christ. It comes from hearing the message. And the message is heard through the word of Christ. Revelation 19:11, John wrote about Jesus, or Christ Jesus. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. Jesus Christ is faithful and he's true. And when the faith comes alive in our heart, you have a great sense of faithfulness and truth. The reading from Isaiah 11, faithfulness is the sash around the waist of God. In Hebrews 10:23, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. It's not if, it's when. And again, that can be 15 seconds, that can be decades of waiting for your prayers to be answered. And God is faithful. God is faithful in calling us to salvation. And God is faithful in calling those who have been saved into the ministry of the Word of Christ. Because there are people that will never enter into a church. I talked to an ambassador of the faith this last week. Doesn't go to church, but he goes to where other people are, and he talks with them about the faith. I hope you still come to church, but there are different ways that we all serve. God is faithful in calling us to salvation, and he's calling us to serve him, because God is faithful and he provides. Praise be to God. Amen.
Before I ask the ushers to come forward, let us have a brief prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for all the many wonderful blessings that you have given to us. We offer to you what is yours. Please use our offerings to help to bless and prosper your kingdom here on earth. In Jesus' name, we ask this. Amen. I ask the ushers to come forward to collect our offerings, please.
On this fourth Sunday of the month, I invite our ushers to come back in and receive the second offering for our Imagine Your Faith Building Capital Campaign. That campaign started in April of 2014, so we're a little over 10 years in raising funds for this project and future projects. You've already heard a little bit from Jeff Rutledge this morning, and I'm going to focus in on the money a little bit. Depends on what day you look at the numbers. We're anywhere between $100,000 and maybe $300,000 of having everything in hand. So we probably have about 9 months to figure it all out. The opinion of probable cost, the budget, is put together and is very firm in understanding the times. We're also entering into, according to the architects, a very favorable bidding market. So hopefully we'll have plenty of funds on hand, but you just never know, because new things pop up. Underneath the carpet in the three aisles are loops of wire for our hearing assistance. Well, we have to remove the carpet, so we have to remove the wire. Probably get damaged, so we have to get new wire. Or, that was installed in 2009. I think that was about 14, 15 years ago. Now they have something called Bluetooth. And so new hearing aids are coming out with Bluetooth, and so we want to put in a Bluetooth system and abandon the hearing. Well, there's a little bit more money associated with that. At some point, we're going to come to the end of trying to update, because at this time, we want to do everything right, correct, and well. So $100 to $300, I know that's a lot of money, but you have been faithful, and I know that it will come through because we are people of faith, and God is faithful. So thank you.
Please stand if you are able. And let us sing our closing hymn. Our closing hymn is, "There is Power in the Blood." For our closing hymn, "The Power in the Blood" has four verses. We will be singing verses 1-3. And then please remain standing for our spoken benediction. And then after our spoken benediction, our benediction and song will be verse 4 of "There is Power in the Blood." So let us sing.
A bunch of corny jokes after the 8 o'clock service as people left, because I shared with them for my benediction that I have been suffering from a corn on one of my toes, and went to the doctor and all that kind of good stuff, and it just hurts. The only time it hasn't hurt today is when I was preaching the Word of God. So the Word is alive and active, and so I'm going to invite you to all sit, and I'm going to preach again. Oh, some of you are very gracious. You may stand back up. But know that God is faithful, and you have opened up the door so that He may be alive in your hearts to bring you healing in so many different ways. To Him be glory and honor forever. Amen.